We'll begin with our normal IT notice. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, if you have not agreed to the group's IT policy at the W3C webpage, we cannot consider any substantive contributions. This is required of us because we need to make sure that we do not accept contributions that don't comply to the W3 standard. Our agenda today is mostly around well, we're going to begin with our regular status of various things, announcements, reminders, et cetera. But our main agenda item is discussing the focal use cases and maybe a little bit of time at the end about how to use these hours every week. We have traditionally begun each week with any new people introducing themselves, and then we reintroduce somebody. So are there any people who've never been introduced at one of our sessions? Just type in Q plus if you've never been introduced. Let's see, quite a large list of people here. Reza, go ahead and tell us about yourself and why you're here at the W3 Credentials Community Group.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. My name is Reza Soltani. I'm a graduate student, a PhD student at York University in Toronto, Canada. And my research revolves around identity management and blockchain and self-sovereign identity. And this is the first time that I've joined this meeting, and I'm here to learn more about VID and other projects that the Credentials Group is working on.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us. We also do reintroductions. So today, Adrian, are you on today?
Yes, I am, actually.
You want to reintroduce yourself?
Oh, sure. I'm Adrian Gropper. I'm a volunteer chief technology officer of a nonprofit called Patient Privacy Rights. And my work is primarily around creating a standards-based self-sovereign technology stack that has three main components, the DID, verifiable credentials, and UMA as an authorization service. And we have software demonstrating how that would work in healthcare.
Thank you very much. So continuing on our agenda, our next item is our progress on current action items. And this is this URL has the list of our current action items. I encourage people to use this. You are welcome to use it, this particular issue repository, for other kinds of action items for other groups, other work items, et cetera. But there is a specific tag, action item, which we're using and reviewing. Starting at the bottom, Manu, do we feel like the SpecText training is done enough? Are there any remaining items there?
We held a call last week, which was great. Thank you a ton to Andrew Hughes for hosting a Zoom room and recording the call. We went through the entire spec setup and editing process, and we have all the audio and all the video, and Andrew is in the process of cleaning that up, and it will be made available to the community hopefully shortly. So that's great. We actually captured it this time. So that's that action item. The other action item that I've got some movement on here is in issue number 7, which is the spec text version of the registry's process. There's a PR that has been suggested there that summarizes the process, and we haven't pulled it in yet, but I think after this call we'll pull it in. So we specifically clarify the registration process for the LD Crypto Suite registry, but we will probably just copy and paste that same text to the other registries. I know that Joe Andrew has some updates to it, so after making those updates, we'll probably pull the modified version into both registries. So good progress in both of them. We shouldn't close out the spec text training thing until we've published the video online, and then the registries process, we'll try to pull both of those pull requests in as quickly as we can after the call.
Any new dates on the method spec and suite?
No.
Okay. So we've been asked to do a panel at Helsinki, and there's also been a request by them to have a day, sort of a rebooting Web of Trust salon type day in Helsinki at the My Data panel. Are there any updates on this? I mean, I feel like this has been coming up every week, and it just doesn't feel definitive. Where are we at? I know the Marcus, are any updates from you?
Hey, Christopher, we've got a queue, and I think Andrew was on the queue.
Oh, sorry.
Andrew Hughes.
Yes, Andrew Hughes.
Okay. Just repeating what Manny said about the video. Manny, you say a lot. I'm trying to figure out what's with that on the recording, if I should do like a burst of static every time you say it. And I say it too. With the video, it should be ready in about a week. I get to put some title blocks in it with some summaries of basically the series of instructions that you're giving on the recording. But it's looking pretty good so far.
Thank you. Marcus? Marcus, go ahead. Maybe you're on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. So you're right. This does seem to come up every week. Like I said last week, there's not really much to do right now. So we could, I don't know, remove this from the issues list or whatever. Basically, there's not going to be a dedicated panel on the ADs at the My Data conference. That was the original idea, but there's too much other content and other good ideas, so that there's not going to be a panel specifically and only about the ADs, but there are going to be several sessions and talks related to the ADs and verifiable credentials and other technologies in this space. So this is pretty much planned and decided now. There's not really a need to bring this up anymore. Yeah.
So they were also talking about having, an incubation day before or after. Are you up for, since you seem to be in better contact than we are, figuring out if that's still happening? It's sort of it's been proposed a number of times, but we haven't really heard anything definitive from them, and then we saw Twitter like 2 weeks ago saying, oh yeah, we're going to do this day, and we're like going, we are? So are you up for helping us coordinate some of that?
I'd be happy to. I don't know much about it. What was that day meant to be? Was it meant to be a rebooting Web of Trust?
Well, the idea was, That's what was a little confusing. They had originally proposed, why don't we do rebooting and, you know, do, you know, hackathon-y type things, you know, immediately after or immediately before My Data. And, you know, we said, well, we weren't sure about a multi-day thing, but, you know, some of us could hang around an extra day and do a, you know, a salon or an open space or something for a day, rather than the full, you know, paper-oriented 3-day thing that we do at rebooting. So if we're going to be there, you know, we could do that, but I'd like to see some planning or some commitment from them, or how is that going to work type of addressed. Anyhow, since you're able to, since you're already in contact with them, please, if you can, you know, puzzle through if we're actually going to do that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll bring it up in the next time I talk to them.
Okay. We're going to be presenting about the decentralized, you know, the DID standards at the next TPAC. Are there any more things that we need to do in regards to moving that agenda forward?
This is Manu. I sent a kind of a pseudo proposal out. Your question was about TPAC, not rebooting. There's a proposal I sent out for rebooting. For TPAC, we just need to continue pushing forward on the DID use cases, spec, charter, that kind of stuff. So I think we're actively working on the TPAC stuff, and we have the block allocations for time at TPAC. So we're good as far as I know there.
Okay. So we have a couple of other action items here. If there are anybody else that would like to speak about the remaining action items, please add yourself to the queue, or else we'll move on to the next. Okay, so I don't see
Chris,
anybody.
Chris, I was trying to add myself something.
This no problem.
Is Lionel,
go ahead.
I'm not sure if I'm an action item or a work item, but I am happy to report that Adrian and I didn't. I opened up both the action item list and the work item list. I'm not sure where we are, but this is the list of DID engagements. We have 12 on the list, and we want to share that. So tell me when.
Please go ahead.
So Adrian and I did move forward in making available a list of engagements with DID. Engagement is a broad term. What we're looking for is people, particularly commercial organizations or nonprofits, but organizations, the bigger the better, who are engaging with DIDs and can show a demo or some kind of working code. We've accumulated 12 lines, and we have a form. I'll put into the minutes the I hesitate to put the link to the spreadsheet itself is editable to anybody who has posted to it, but I will put the link to the form so that you can inspect it. One second. Let me put that in there. My chat stuff. Adrian, can you paste it in maybe? Because my chat is not working.
Yeah, I can paste the form. Oh, I posted
that in, and
I posted the spreadsheet.
You can look
but
at
I'll
it.
Paste the form.
And so we have Uport, ValidBook, Dominode, Verifiable, the province of British Columbia, HIE of One, HTC, Veris One, Sovereign, Danube Tech, Transcendex, and Clue. It's a nice list, and we hope to make it longer. So everybody, if you know anyone doing something with DIDs, the larger the organization, the better. Click the form and enter your work on there. And anyone who's on there, please come in and fine-tune the text so you're represented properly.
Thank you very much for this effort. Kim and Joe, as co-chairs, where does this fall in? It's not exactly a work item. It's sort of an ongoing thing. where should we put this?
It's a good question.
Well, for now, it's
why don't you make it a work item that's done? You could make it an action item that was done because it's available and working.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so moving along on our agenda, we are now to the other work items. Any other reports from any other people doing on various work items?
This is Manu. Just the DID spec is moving forward. I'm pulling in PRs. There have been a couple that floated out there for a while. We got some feedback on it, and those are moving forward. So steady progress on the DID spec. And I hope to do quite a bit of work on the specs next week, along with more work on the charter.
Fabulous. AC Hughes?
Hi, Andrew again. So I've followed Manu's instructions on importing the primer into respec format. Going to do a bit of work on that this afternoon with the BCR folks, John and Stephen. And hopefully it won't take too long, maybe a week or two to get that done. So that's that. It's not a list of action items or work items. I'm not sure where it should go.
Joe and Kim, any thoughts on, I guess that's an action item as well, but it's going to be finished before we, I mean, a work item is going to be finished really soon. Any thoughts on how we apply this in our process? Joe?
It's deliverable of the group, right? So probably should be a work item
with
an action to update it.
That's right.
I feel like it's a that sounds good. Okay. Next we have Chris Weber.
So Kalia and Heather had reached out to me about talking about some of the history of OCAP LD, and because of that, or linked data capabilities. So because of that, I actually started talking with Alan about some of the design stuff of OCAP LD recently. And for those who may not know, OCAP LD is largely based on Alan Karp's design for the Zebra copy based capability system that they had. And because of that, we started discussing whether or not we should make it so that all capability certificate chains using in OCAP LD should be able to be revocable and using the same kind of pattern they used in Zebra copy. And it sounds like that's probably what's going to happen. So I think that's a pretty good development, and of course it's nice to learn from, you know, the history of those who have built the systems that have influenced your system.
Great. So I want to really quick ask the question in regards to OCAP and all of that. I mean, so right now we know VeriS1 is using it. Are they going to be using this variant of it, or where are we at as far as, you know, who's doing what?
So the VeriS1 implementation of OCAP LD is going to track the spec as close as we can. The things that we're implementing are things that we're pretty sure about. And all the things that we're not sure about are things that are upgradable in VeriS1 as a general design rule and implementation rule. So for example, over the past week, we've been discussing whether or not revocation is just like an implied thing, or if there's an implied expiration date on OCAPs in the Veris One ledger, and so, like, you know, before we go into production with it, we will make a decision one way or another and implement it in a certain way that is upgradable if we end up changing the spec in the future. But for the time being, we're tracking whatever the spec's doing and you know, planning appropriately if we need to upgrade it based on big spec changes.
Are there any other implementers that are looking at the OCAP type options around their stacks?
Well, we have the more generic OCAPLD library. This is Chris Weber. We have the more generic OCAPLD library that we're working on that's independent of VerisOne. We don't have any users of it outside of VerisOne that I know of yet, and that's partly because I think we're being a bit cautious about you know, maybe pushing people into adopt something before it's ready to I think we have a good understanding between us and VerisOne on how to be able to do upgrade stuff, but of course we don't want to accidentally push somebody into implementing something that may be not completely solid yet. But I think we are at the point where we could get other people, and we would like other people to look at adopting it as long as they're willing to participate in the discussions around what should be changing as the document is ongoing.
Just wanted to also mention that there are users outside of VerisOne, so there are a number of customers that we can't talk about, unfortunately, under NDA. But there are very large, influential customers that are using some of the OCAP LD stuff, just in proof of concepts. But it's significant proof of concepts.
Thank you. I know in the case of BTCR, I would like to see support of it, although we can't necessarily use OCAP for control of the DID elements. So if people have thoughts about that in the sort of BTCR method area, let Kim, Ryan, and I know. Okay, so last call for topics related to work items. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, this is Dimitri. I'm not sure if it's a work item, but it was mentioned on the last couple of calls, which is the DID resolution spec. And just wanted to give an update. Marcus and myself have started working on a DID resolution spec under the W3C CCG GitHub repo.
Great. We're looking forward to that. Moses?
Moses?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to add that I'm working with HTC and coming up with some kind of use case for the use of a DID with a phone and probably the mobility functionality. So Lino might be interested in participating in that since he's doing some location-based work. But anyway, I'll write some more up and submit it to the community newsletter to see if it sounds interesting. And I've also invited Phil, the Chief Decentralization Officer of HTC, to attend one of our calls to just say hi to everybody, but he's kind of busy. Okay?
I couldn't join the queue, but I just wanted to add to that use case, Sam. I've been working with some of the machine vision people at Nissan for their self-driving cars, and they were really interested in the persistent IDs And I'm not too sure exactly how to write that up into one yet. I'm still needing to talk to them more, but it sounds related to that. But essentially with the self-driving cars and having entertainment that is, attached to the user and statistics and preferences as they go from car to car.
Real quick, Samantha, is that public information? I just want to make sure because these are being minuted and recorded.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So,
great.
Yeah, that's fine. You can say if they're as the car, as the machine vision for all the self-driving cars have come together, they realized they needed to all be making the same AI, obviously. So with that, they're looking a lot at how are they going to deal with all different people coming into the car, who their identities are, what their vitals are, everything like that. And it's a really big problem. And so it's a really good use case, I think, but I could really use some help as I'm writing that up more technically and properly.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to be talking about focal use cases more in the next section. So, we can talk about how to create those and get started on those. Any last things, other agenda items? Okay, so we'll move on to the next section, which is the announcements and I think I did this slightly out of order. Announcements and reminders. So last week I went to the Wyoming Blockchain Task Force meeting. This is a meeting of the Congress, state congressmen and senators who enacted five blockchain and digital identity related bills last March, I believe, and they're very active in trying to be lead on the future of this type of technology in Wyoming. In particular, I just put in a link for HB 101, which is it's really related to their businesses law. And one of the interesting things about it is that the identity of a shareholder is, I'll actually paste it. That wasn't what I intended to do. There we go. So they have, identity is the shareholder that has a network address with the knowledge of a private key, and then they have this other concept of a network address, which is here, and so it's basically a shareholder has a unique string of alphanumeric characters distributed on electronic networks or databases, which are accessed by the possession of a private key. So this is really darn close to DID. Talking with them, they definitely would like to see sort of decentralized identity type things. Wyoming historically is a personal freedom libertarian background history, a lot of concern about privacy rights, and so they were just definitely interested in addressing the next version of this bill or any updates to this bill and some of the new bills that are coming out to make it work with what we are doing. So if there is interest from other parties that to work with me to communicate with how to improve these definitions, make sure that they can address some of the out cases. I mentioned to them things like, how do you handle not so much receivership, but stewardship and things of that nature. Signatures aren't always, and data is not always a digital signature. Sometimes it's a proof, things of that nature. So if you're interested, contact me, and we basically have until sometime in September to submit suggestions on how to improve these definitions. Any questions on that? Okay. We plan in the summer, the week of July 16th, to have an outreach sort of hackathon outreach session. The idea is we would meet and have a stand-up every day, Monday through Friday, talking about where we're at and any stumbling blocks, and then basically share to the next level of the community to come join us and try some DID verifiable claims work. So that's coming up in just 2 months, or actually a month and a half. So if you're interested in helping us organize this, have any other thoughts about how to do this better, please let us know. And we'll be spending some more time on that planning between now and then. Just want to make sure everybody's aware of that. Of course, my data conference, a number of us are going to Helsinki August 29th through 31st. We talked about that briefly. And there was the open action item on an extra day. Hopefully next week we can know something more about that. Were there any other announcements or just quick reports that don't fit into the other categories before we move into our main item? Okay, I'm not seeing any. So our big agenda item for the day is the focal use cases. Joe, do you want to take over and talk about sort of next steps?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So I have repurposed the DID focal use cases. That is the URL that we set up on the agenda. I'll draft that again in chat. Or if someone could drop that in chat rather than distracting myself. So I've repurposed that document to collect the use cases that people have sent me. So it looked like you might still be editing, for example, both Kim and Stephen Curran's. I did not copy yours over. But where I could, I copied what people have submitted into the shared document so we can walk through it. From a process perspective, we're still in the gathering phase. I appreciate all of you now have 9, which is great. So keep those coming. We're going to go through that and refine those a little bit today, and we'll have future calls where that might also be the focus of the conversation. Eventually, we will boil the focal use cases down to a singular document that may have just 3 to 5 focal use cases. And from there, we'll get it to respect, and we're going through sort of the GitHub issues resolution process. So before we dive in, I want to ask any questions about the process. And then today, what I'd like to do for the 25 minutes I have left is just have give folks an opportunity to introduce the use cases that they proposed. We can talk about them a little bit, and I'd just like to get all of them to get a little bit of air and feedback in the community. So the content. And my audio is not doing great.
Okay, so Kim, I think it's like you. Yeah, Drummond. Sorry, you're first.
That was old. I was looking for the link to the resolution spec, and Dimitri included it. So that's all good.
Okay, Kim.
Yeah, just a note on the document, the DID focal use cases document itself. I didn't have permission to even propose changes to it, so I just wanted to call that out. If you're not seeing edits, Joe, that might be why.
Okay. Thank you for calling that out. If you could try again, I just posted a new link that I turned on. Anyone who has that link can edit. Hopefully that will work okay. For folks.
Got it. Thank you. And also,
Manu, go ahead and finish.
Actually, I forgot that Manu was on the queue. I didn't know if we were going into use cases next, in which case I was going to do mine, but let's let Manu go first.
Go ahead, Kim. You sent yours in before I did.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I was going to go through those in order, which will be you,
yeah,
Kim. Chris, or Manu, we did get yours in. You got number six. Before we move into the content.
Sorry, Joe, you broke up.
Unfortunately, Joe, you're really breaking up. I think Joe wanted to kind of, if we're ready now, we'll kind of walk through each one in turn in order. The use case number one was the example. Joe, is that what you wanted to do next, or did you want to walk through the criteria and directions first?
I am ready to walk through the content. There were more questions about process. Kind of distracted trying to debug my audio. Feel free to lead on.
Okay. So are there any last questions on sort of the direction and criteria right now? Can we move, anybody have any urgent questions on that, or can we move on to the use cases? Okay, so I think we're going to move on to the use cases. So the first use case was the sample one that Joe started of Digital Executor. Joe, well, let's just try your voice quality one more time, and if it works, we'll pass the control on to you. So try, Joe, for that use case first. Wow. If that was you speaking, it's we're at zero signal. Just a little stab. So Joe's... Yeah, Joe, it's not working, unfortunately. So Joe's use case was around a digital executor. You know, how do you deal with online assets and accounts, you know, when someone dies? How do you trigger to give control to a third party, et cetera? DIDs, because of its ability to do rotation and potentially duplication, may offer some unique things that existing models for this can't handle. The second use case is Kim's. Why don't you take over, Kim?
Yeah, so my use case, I haven't moved the content over yet, so notice in use case number two, there's a lifelong recipient-owned credentials. And, okay, so in that one, effectively the idea is in the sort of educational, occupational, verifiable credentials space, you know, one of the advantages that we, this is just context, building up to the use case, you know, one of the advantages that we offer or promise is that the recipient can actually own and, you know, share their credentials independent of the issuer. Of course, the big problem where this breaks down is the idea of, well, if cryptographic keys are involved in that, you know, there's just the basic usability issues. So, you know, what happens if recipients lose their private keys that were used to prove ownership claims. So what we're getting at here is basically the use of DIDs makes sort of the life cycle of cryptographic keys more of a first-class citizen, you know, the case where loss or key rotation happens or anything like that is not the exceptional case. It's part of the sort of straightforward workflow. So I think, you know, I think the use case, I took my best stab basically trying to model over based on Joe's use case. And it seems like the approach to use is focusing on, you know, sort of a specific aspect. And in my case, what I'm choosing is the recipient, you know, loses the ownership or control over their private key. But through use of DIDs, you know, they can still prove ownership because the credential was issued to a subject that is a DID, you know, and then, of course, the context is the DID method supports, you know, updates and the people are making edits. You know, the recipient is able to update, you know, so even if they lose their private key, the recipient invokes the update method on, you know, that the DID method allows and, you know, is once again able to prove that that's their DID. The terminology is, I need to revisit that because I'm sort of mixing informal use of terms with sort of loaded technical terms. That's probably going to be an ongoing issue with the use cases, so I need to find a better balance there. I think the problem that I had mostly was around the sticky wicket one. I didn't really understand what that was about.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can.
I guess I should finish that real fast. Yeah. So this is just the first pass. I need to continue to refine it. And I'm certainly, if you have any proposed edits, let me know. I think I'm also learning how to write use cases for, you know, W3C specifications as we go. But yeah, I would, if anyone has any insight into the sticky wicket part or just sort of general feedback as well, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, I have two quick things on general feedback. The first one is that besides educational credentials, certain types of things like, you know, was married on such and such a date is a long-term credential. And it's, you know, made more complex by the fact that, you know, the two parties who are married and the party that married them, you know, may no longer have access to their keys or other things of that nature 20 years later when somebody needs to do a divorce case or a, you know, deal with probate or something of that nature. So, or deal with taxes. So, time stamping becomes, you know, and various kinds of logging become more important to show that it was valid, you know, the year that it was issued in the subsequent years and separate is married now from the fact of was married. Second thing is there are digital signature techniques that are considered to be more long-lived, hash signatures in particular. You know, right now, I'm encouraging people to be careful with long-term things like property, real estate property, using the keys we use now because they may not be good keys in 30, 40 years. So, you know, choice of signature algorithms is another factor. I'll move on to the next person. It's Joe.
So I just want to talk about the sticky wicket. So the idea of the sticky wicket, see if we can add a not uncommon complexity, an edge case, however, that would inform some of the issues around the DID. So this was a lesson learned from the verifiable claims work. They all started to look the same. You know, you issue a claim, you present a profile. So the sticky we can fold in. The idea is just the way you can make the basic story a little bit more complex, such that it introduces reasons for some of our technical solutions, revocation or something like that. So that's the idea of the sticky wicket.
Okay. Moses, you have three use cases, and we're also limited on time. You want to give a quick overview of the three cases?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to interweave them. The first use case is we picked a user who is a gay man in Egypt, and recently they've been cracking down on the gay and transgender community in a very aggressive manner. And this person was probably targeted on an online site, according to the news. So is there a way we can use DIDs and pseudonymous DIDs to paired with references or reputation to ensure that people are just playing with people that they want to play with instead of people who seek to do them harm? A related use case would be privacy for certain Bitcoin whales in certain countries. There are certain countries where cryptocurrency is borderline illegal, and the government may actually extort the person if they discover who has crypto. So the government of Russia forever has actually demanded 50% of the net worth of certain oligarchs to stay out of jail. Right, so there's state-sanctioned extortion that could happen if that happens. So we've been talking to legal companies and KYC firms that say this is actually doable, that we could do an attestation claim or credential that would let somebody have a synonymous DID and be able to get KYC as long as they're not, that someone attests that they're not on the sanctions list. And finally, we're working with HTC around a blockchain phone, and we're actually starting a design sprint around it, but both of the former use cases could be related. There's one of our members, Brian McSweeney at Clue, is doing a very interesting reputation wallet where they're collecting ratings, reviews, and claims. So like for use case number four, if my phone, if I decide to go shopping at a really high-end place, theoretically, if I have a claim that I'm an investor in multiple ICOs, it could be loaded into my wallet. And the minute I walk in, you could use a mobility to figure out who I am and then announce that you should treat me better. So it's the equivalent of an American Express black card inside of your phone. And then the same thing is true for the use case number three. We can combine pseudonymous personal freedom credentials into the phone so that it could safeguard you when you're at a club or something. So we're looking at ways of connecting mobility with these other usages. Does anybody have any questions or issues?
Lionel, you're next up in queue.
I just wanted to plus one on the scenario about somebody passing away, digital executor, and might want to broaden it just to the broad problem of key recovery and custodial issues. They're huge, complex issues, and I think maybe it needs its own use case, but if DIDs can help with key recovery in general, all the custodial and I'll just recap it.
Okay.
Something really holding back crypto in general is key recovery and all the digital signatures. This idea of long-term signatures that will last as long as a 30-year mortgage, I think it's a very cogent and exciting use case.
Thank you. Manu, you're next.
Sure. I was just going to cover the next use case.
Go ahead.
The one that we submitted was around decentralized corporate identifiers. So just to give some background on the use case, Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection was on U.S. Capitol Hill a couple of weeks ago talking about supply chain, securing the supply chain. Specifically, and this is not just the U.S. government, there are many governments around the world that are concerned that when an electronic device is manufactured overseas, that it may be compromised when it transitions from the factory to the shipper to the packaging company, whatever. At some point, someone installs a virus or a thing onto that device, and then it gets used in the market. So, the use case is around supply chain security and ensuring that electronics that come into the country are verifiable, that what the manufacturer put on the microchip is what the microchip is currently running today. So if you think about things like autonomous vehicles or aircraft, it's very important to know that the program hasn't changed from the manufacturing facility. So how do you do that in a global way, in a global supply chain way? The suggestion is to use decentralized corporate identifiers where every single company that touches that product from creation to the point that it's actually used in the marketplace puts a digital signature on their section of the supply chain such that you can check every movement of that product through the supply chain on its way to the customer. And such that the customer themselves can check to make sure that the device hasn't been compromised. So the sticky wicket here is not in being able to do that in some way, it's having a unified way globally to do that. And the suggestion is to use decentralized identifiers for corporations so that they can identify and digitally sign things as they flow through the supply chain. And that's it.
Thank you. Marcus?
A quick comment. I think all these use cases sound fantastic. It's just listening to how some of them are being articulated and looking at some of the notes in the chat, we probably want to be careful not to promote or encourage anything that's illegal, right? So thinking specifically about the cryptocurrency and in Russia one, it sounds a little bit like our use case is that there's something that's illegal here, and our use case is to find a way to circumvent that. I don't want to say it's a bad use case, but probably when it's written down, the language and wording should be chosen carefully.
I'll just add myself to the queue. I think the distinction on legality and illegality or whatever is a complex one. I think there are things that the UN, United Nations Charter says that everybody ought to be able to do that are illegal in specific states. And those may be more legitimate than ones that are, not in the UN Charter. So, but we can deal with that as we, work on these use cases later. I see that next in the queue is DID ownership transfer, which was a user story by Stephen. Stephen, are you online?
I just had a quick question about Manu's case. I think I'm on the queue.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out what the government expects the attestation to be when you sign onto this supply chain. Is it that you received the thing from the last person who signed the chain? That wasn't clear to somebody who doesn't understand supply chain stuff. It wasn't clear in your use case. And I don't expect an answer on the call, but that was my reaction to it.
Yep. I'm putting myself on the queue to respond. That's a good question. I was speaking very generally and was vague about that on purpose, but maybe that's not a good thing to do. So yes, you would sign as one person, as one organization hands effectively the product off to another organization, they would digitally sign the handoff. But there would be other things in there, like, for example, the manufacturing facility would say, this is the hash or the checksum of the software that the microchip is running. And so you can jump down the supply chain, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 different organizations, such that the customer, when they receive it, can check to make sure it went through the proper channels to get to them, meaning it wasn't an intellectual property ripoff or knockoff of some kind. So you can, you know, every person that package went through was a legal shipper, legal organization. And then you can check the software that's actually installed on the device. So this would be, for example, being able to check to make sure that the ABS code, the automated braking system code in your car, is the same one that was installed by, you know, Toyota or Ford at the factory, and knowing that it hasn't been modified since it was shipped to you from the factory.
Yeah, Adrian.
So we've just got the last couple of.
Oh, sorry.
We've got just a couple of minutes left, so I wanted to make sure we recovered and we discussed the other use cases, or at least in passing. So Stephen proposed a use case around ownership transfer and how DIDs can do that. My use case is very much around sort of the software release issue, which sort of crosses a couple of these. We currently do this with PGP, which does not actually do authorization. It doesn't deal with accountable parties. Like, I can't say, yes, this was written by 25 people, but if you have problems with the security of this, contact X. And also, all of these signing permissions are not user accessible. They're really just only for developers. Use case number 9, Bodone, can you give us a 1-minute summary of your use case number 9? I thought you were here. Maybe I missed. This is on statements of unique individuals. Okay, anyhow, there are a number of cases. Go ahead.
I would say, I believe you mentioned RC that he can't get into the VoIP.
Okay.
I think you said that earlier.
So, Ryan's use case was around the cloud sign on, DID off, et cetera. So, it sounds like we've got a good start on these. Joe, what would you suggest as far as, when do we want to schedule another go over these, discussion about these, et cetera?
So what I would like to do is first encourage folks to continue flushing these out, and if you have new ones, fill them, feel free to add them to the document, and we will take a chance in, I'm sorry, not a chance, but some time for new ones that folks recommend between now and say next call. I think, Chris, after I just have a little bit of iteration, like some of them are still raw skeletons, and I think we will I'd like to pick a few is what I'd like to do next.
Okay.
So let's give this some time, Nate, and give people
in
more opportunities to.
Okay. So maybe we'll schedule
ones
in 2 weeks. You're breaking up, Joe, so I'm sorry I'm jumping on on your voice. Maybe in a couple of weeks, we would if there are any specific topics that people would like to do. In particular, I know I'd like to have a report out on UPort and other Ethereum DID status and roadmap. I know that there's been some EICs issued. I'd love to have somebody be able to talk about that. If you want to talk about your specific DID method or something you think is important for us all to discuss, we have some open spots in the upcoming weeks for our sessions. So please let the chairs know if you have something that you would like to present about. And I think that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much, everybody, and great work on getting a start on the use cases, and we will see you next week.
Cool. Cheers.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.